Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
216-578-0092.
It's like Chris Fedor when the Warriors are in an 0-for-8 slump.
Speak of the devil. He joins us right now, courtesy of the Mercedes-Benz of Bedford Hotline. Hello, Chris.
I needed to change my underpants.
That's not the Chris we want. Hello, Chris.
Hi.
What's up, guys?
Well, good morning, Christopher.
And to you as well.
Thank you very much. I want to ask you about the banana boat stuff in a moment, but I read your column, your feature piece about the roadmap for the Cavaliers offseason. Explain your plans to folks out there.
Well, first, I think people have to recognize that if they want to significantly improve this offseason, it's going to be tough, and it's going to require either breaking up the core or some very, very tricky moves by whoever is in charge of the front office. So I think it starts there. And I think the first thing that they're trying to do, and I think the first thing they need to try to do, is get more two-way players. And that involves probably having to trade Kevin Love, because Kevin Love, Tristan Thompson, and LeBron James in a front court together cannot play effectively against the Warriors. So one of those guys would have to go. Like, if they don't do anything, they're the second-best team in the NBA, they're the best team in the Eastern Conference, and they're fine, and they'll plow through the Eastern Conference, they'll go to the NBA Finals more than likely. It's just, I think the Cavs have to start thinking, what is best for us against the Golden State Warriors?
All right, Chris, real quick, though. Real quick, let me ask you this, because things could change with Golden State. We talked about Andre Iguodala, how big he was for that team, a guy who could, on a few possessions here and there, could go and challenge LeBron, make him work harder. Sean Livingston, if both of those guys leave, then do you recalibrate your thoughts?
No. They still have Kevin Durant, Draymond Green. I mean, the loss of Andre Iguodala would be enormous, because the thing that the Warriors have had over the last couple of years that nobody's been able to solve is the best five-man lineup in the game. It's Draymond Green, Andre Iguodala, now Kevin Durant, it used to be Harrison Barnes, Klay Thompson, Steph Curry. Like, that is a lethal five-man unit that teams just don't have an answer for. It's too fast, it's too offensive-minded, it's too good defensively. They can switch everything, and that's the lineup that the Warriors used in the final 9 minutes of Game 5, and they won the NBA championship that way. They call it the Hamptons Five for a reason. So if Iguodala goes, the Warriors lose their best five-man lineup. And if Livingston goes, then the Warriors lose their second-best five-man lineup. So those are significant losses, no question. But they still have Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, Draymond Green. And that's a team that you still create so many problems with those four guys, and the Cavs don't have too many counters for those four to begin with. And I think the most important thing for the Cavs is to find somebody else, whether it's on the perimeter, it would be best if it was on the perimeter, two-way player, defensive mind, it doesn't matter, just somebody that they can use against Kevin Durant more frequently so that LeBron doesn't have to expend so much energy and spend so much time guarding Kevin Durant. It just takes way too much out of the Cavs, and it's not a successful formula.
Chris Fedor, Cleveland.com, the plain dealer, and WarriorsWorld.com. Just curious, Chris, when it comes to Kyrie, we're hearing these rumors, and this is the second kind of round of rumors that have come up with Kyrie being dealt. People are saying this morning, our callers saying that to get a two-way player like even Paul George, they would trade Kyrie Irving. Do you think that's crazy?
Yeah, I don't know how much that would help, honestly. I mean, I think part of the reason why the Cavs are as great as they are is because they've got guys who, in a playoff setting, you just put the ball in their hands and they have the ability to just create something one-on-one. And Kyrie is somebody, I don't think the Cavs are in a position, and I don't think anybody should be in a position where you want to subtract Kyrie to add something. First of all, you can't sign and trade. Cavs are not in a position where they can sign and trade anybody based on how deep into the luxury tax and above the apron they are. So any sign and trade stuff is kind of baffling at the moment. And I think the goal should be, can we add to this team without subtracting too much? And if you're going to add Paul George and subtract Kyrie, what does that really mean for your roster? How much are you really improving there? You're different. You're different, but the goal is to get better, right? Not just get different. So I don't buy that. I don't believe that that would make them significantly better. I think it goes back to, look, if you want to be better, you can't play two of your four highest paid players together. Like, you learned that in the NBA Finals against the Warriors. So one of those guys, subtracting one of those guys, and then adding something different or somebody who brings a different skill set, then you can see a roadmap to actually improving and taking steps to close the gap on the Warriors. But losing Kyrie Irving, like, that just makes you different. It doesn't make you better.
How serious do you think Boston is about Paul George?
I think they're extremely serious about Paul George if they can add Gordon Hayward first, because Boston's in a position, guys, where Boston doesn't need one star to compete with the Cavs. They need two, and there's no guarantee that if they add two stars that they can still compete with the Cavs or beat the Cavs in a seven-game series. So from Boston's standpoint, they're looking at it saying, look, if we're going to give up all these different assets that we've worked so hard to compile, and we're going to give them all for Paul George and just rent him for 1 year, and that's the only move that we make this offseason, what does that really do for our chances against Cleveland? Okay, maybe we win a game or two in a series against them, but that doesn't make us ultra competitive against them. So why would we give up all those assets, lose all those assets, then lose Paul George in the summer of 2018 because everybody knows that he wants to play for the Los Angeles Lakers, unless it's a unique circumstance where he's on a legitimate championship contender? So I think Boston's very serious about Paul George, but it hinges on their ability to get Gordon Hayward or another star to pair with him. And I think that's what Indiana's waiting for. And I think that's what teams around the NBA are waiting for. Indiana, I think, feels like Boston would have the best package of young players and draft picks to satisfy them if they were to lose Paul George. But the timing is not right for that, and I think they're going to be patient and wait to see what happens with Boston before they start really fielding some of the other lesser offers that they could get from the Cavs in a three-team deal, from maybe the Houston Rockets in a three-team deal, or from another team that may be interested in PG. Boston's the team that has always made the most sense, but they have to do other things with their own roster to justify making that move for Paul George.
Chris Fedor joining us on the Mercedes-Benz of Bedford hotline. As Chauncey Billups, do you subscribe to the theory Chauncey Billups has been technically, legally tampering on the Cavs' behalf before he takes this job?
I have no idea, honestly, guys. I have no idea because there's so many things coming out from the Cavs and it just makes you say, I'm going to throw my hands up and not even understand what the heck is going on. I mean, could it be possible? Sure. Or I think it could be possible that Chauncey Billups has reservations about this job. I mean, look.
Chris, for a week now? Come on. Why isn't there like an ultimatum?
You got to do it or get off the pot at some point here. We're talking about free agency, Chris. I mean,
why would
good
there
God.
Be an ultimatum?
Well, would it just be Kobe Altman? If this doesn't get down with Chauncey, that's going to be their guy?
Possibly.
What's your reaction?
To be the GM and man the phones and try and make trades around the NBA draft, blockbuster trades where they got close, and if they feel like he's doing a good enough job and they're not missing anything with having somebody in that place, why would they put an ultimatum on a guy that they want to run their front office? You know what I'm saying?
Well,
so I think,
Chris,
if you look at Chauncey Billups, there are a lot of reasons why he would take this job. A lot of them. And I think everybody knows them. But there are definitely some why he wouldn't. I mean, he'd be working for an owner that wants to be involved in basketball-related decisions. And then Chauncey would have to ask himself, if I sign up for the job, am I actually going to be able to do the job? And then you talk about the fact that you'd be working for an owner that's never, never brought back a GM and doesn't really value that position greatly. So I think there are things that he has to seriously consider, especially if he comes to Cleveland and they don't have as successful of a season. Like right now, Chauncey's looked at as an up-and-comer, a really bright basketball mind that a lot of people around the NBA think would be great for running their front office. But if he runs the front office, he doesn't get to do the job that he wants to do or signs up to do, and the Cavs go the other way for one reason or another, like now all of a sudden he has a stained resume, and it may be tougher down the road for him to come back from that sort of thing. So it has to be the right position because he is looked at as somebody that other teams would want to in the future.
Why are you obsessed with Banana Boat?
I'm not obsessed with it.
Chris, you did 10 hours of radio this week on the Banana Boat.
You're going to do 15 now because to later on today's Banana Boat.
I just know that it's something that every member of that group, LeBron, Carmelo, Chris Paul, Dwayne Wade, have all talked about. And they've talked about it on the record. And they've talked about their desire to want to play together. So when you have all four of them potentially free agents in 2018, you can bury your head in the sand and ignore it and say that it's not a big deal if you want to. But the last time that this all lined up perfectly for like this group or members of the group or buddies, it was 2010. And everyone's like, what, LeBron wants to play with Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade? Why? Why? Because they were on the Olympic team together, and guess what happened? They all played together because they had it planned and because they had talked about it for a long time and because they all wanted it to happen, and Miami was able to make it happen with the salary. Guess what? All four members of the team, Team Banana Boat, could be free agents in 2018, and they've all talked about their desire to play together, and LeBron James has accomplished everything that he wanted to accomplish coming back to Cleveland. And the one thing on his resume for him that he hasn't accomplished is forming Team Banana Boat and playing with his buddy.
Oh, come on. He's going to do that for turning down $204 million?
Think about it. Judas. He turned down money to go play with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh.
Back when he was 27.
I'm done with Banana Boat talk.
Yes, and now he's older.
Banana Boat.
Hello, Chris.
On record, LeBron James has said that is a desire of his is to play with his buddies.
On record, I've said I wanted to train for a marathon.
Okay, but you don't have the control to do that, and you don't have the stamina to do that. LeBron has the means to make something that he has wanted happen.
That's a cheap shot. You just took a cheap shot against my coach. We can't do this.
Chris, get him out.
I'm sorry. Get him out.
Get him out.
Show me your balls, big boy.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.